Welcome to the Junk Refund Show, hosted by Alan J. Cook, founder of 1-800-JUNK-REFUND. Have you ever paid those expensive junk removal companies to take away some of your stuff, only to say to yourself, as a truck drives off down the street, some of that stuff wasn't junk? Did they try to sell it for you and give you some money back? No. Well, now there is a company that can do just that. Listen to our weekly Junk Refund Show on BBS Radio TV to learn how one lady spent $375 on junk removal and got $3,200 back. 1-800-JUNK-REFUND represents the next generation of junk removal. Learn how to not only save your money on junk removal, but how to get some money coming back. Plus, purchase one of our radio vouchers during the show to save even more on your junk removal. Let's get the junk out of your home and out of your life. Now, with your host, Alan J. Cook.
Hey folks, welcome to my favorite time of the week, Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern, where I get to do another episode of the Junk Refund Show, the nation's longest running junk removal radio show. How's that? I think we're in our third year now when you combine a show I did for about a year on CBS before I came to BBS Radio TV, which are great, is a great network. I really enjoy working with these guys. And it's just a lot of fun. And so you're listening to the longest running junk removal radio show in the country. And if that doesn't make your day, then you're normal. Okay. So anyway, we're having some fun with it. I am right now on what we call the Beltway, the freeway that runs all the way around Washington, D.C. There is construction going on here. I'm on my way to Ashburn, Virginia, with an ETA of somewhere around 5 minutes after the show closes. So I'm doing the show from the cab of my truck as I'm on my way to pick up a home gym that someone is tossing, and we're going to recycle it at a scrap metal yard and maybe put it up for sale once I get there to see if what kind of shape this is in. But we'll have some fun. So I always enjoy telling you about what's going on in the world of junk removal and what's happening. And there's just a lot of fun things going on in life. And I hear, especially in the Washington, D.C. area, with the government layoffs that have happened and the government is shut down right now until they, you know, pass the bill to get it refunded, et cetera. I have been here for 36 years, and every October there's talk on the radio about the government shutdown and we need to pass a bill to keep the government funded and operating for the next 12 months. Well, for 36 years, with only rare exceptions, that shutdown may have lasted a few days and sometimes a week, but I think we're into day like 24, something like that now. And I'm going around doing junk removal jobs, frankly, a little bit oblivious as to what's really happening to these government employees who all of a sudden are getting furloughed, temporarily laid off, some of them permanently laid off, pack up the boxes, move out of the offices, etc. I am oblivious a little bit. And I'm sure certainly naive as to what that's like for a lot of people. I just keep going from job to job to job, staying busy, hauling away stuff for people. And in the past 36 years, when I've heard these announcements in October on the radio, I've always said to myself, that'll take maybe a week, maybe 4 days, who knows, maybe 10 days. But this one is, I think, the second longest one that we've had. And my heart goes out to these friends of mine in Washington, D.C., who suddenly are unemployed and don't know really what the future holds. So remember these folks out here who, you know, dedicate their life to helping our government run smoothly and run well and et cetera. One of the strengths economically of the Washington, D.C. area historically has been that we have the federal government here, and that's a lot of money, and that's a lot of jobs. And so when it gets shut down and it runs for 3 or 4 weeks, that's a little different than what we're accustomed to. And that hits right at the heart of kind of the one of the main arteries that supports our economy in Washington, D.C. So anyway, keep that in mind. There's some really good people out here that do really good work. And my heart goes out to them. Let's just put it that way. In the junk removal business, all kinds of fun things happen. I want to talk about a guy who's I only know him by his Facebook name, which he uses to buy stuff off of Marketplace. I just looked it up. It's Hog Maw, M-A-W-W. This guy is in his 80s and saw a listing that we did about a week ago for a small home light chainsaw that is really in great shape that got thrown away from one of the jobs that we did. We put it up for sale, and he jumped in to buy it for $100, and he lives about an hour north of Rockville, Maryland, and we charged him an extra $50 to deliver it to him, and he said, okay, that's fine, but I don't like to drive at night. So, you know, we made arrangements to see him at 3:00 in the afternoon. This was a couple of days ago, and I can't remember the last time I've shown up to do a business appointment or even a non-business appointment, and the person I'm meeting is in their 80s and is wearing overalls, right? When I was a kid growing up, overalls was what my buddy named LaCoy Anderson, who was a 70-year-old carpenter, used to wear to work when my dad would be his assistant on the weekends to make some extra money. And you know, overalls, the blue and white striped, vertical striped overalls, right? Or coveralls, as they call them. You just don't see those babies around much anymore. But my friend Hog, who is this is the short name for his Facebook Marketplace ID, Hog was wearing them. This wonderful guy. And I told him, I said, I have never started this chainsaw up. I've owned a couple of them in the past. I've never started this one because it was thrown away at a hauling job. I assume it works. Call me if it doesn't, but it's very clean. And he looked at me and kind of cut me off half sentence, and he said, hey, I trust you. Now, I've never met him before. He doesn't know beans about me other than the fact that I'm selling a chainsaw. And he hands me three crisp $50 bills. It reminded me kind of how you did business in the old days. Your word was your bond. You paid in cash and you trusted the other guy, right? Now, that game has changed a little bit. Earlier today, I got a call, or not a call, I got a message on Marketplace from a lady who wants to purchase it's basically a chop block, a slaughtering board, going back to like, you know, beef slaughtering. We have a very good friend who lives in a very nice home. I've known him for 30 years. Who is moving from Washington, D.C. out to Utah to be closer to his family. And he has a 200-year-old meat chopping block. It's really like a big coffee table that is solid wood. It came from French Canada. It's 200 years old. It weighs a ton. I mean, it is really heavy. We couldn't pick it up, but it's our job to get it out of his utility room in his basement and out of the house, right? And this sucker might weigh 800 to 1,000 pounds. I don't know. It's very, very heavy. So we put it up for sale, and a lady contacted me and said, we started it at $2,000 because it's painted as the French Canadian colors. It's a legitimate 200-year-old item. And my friends kind of cut part of the legs off and turned it into a coffee table. And it is very sentimental to them, so they didn't want it just thrown away. Well, we put it up for sale for $2,000, didn't get any interest. We dropped it to $1,000, started to get some interest. A lady who has some kind of a meat business, you know, I'm not sure what we'll call it, but she is interested in it for its original purposes, but the original legs have been cut off, so it's only about 20 inches high now, instead of what normally would be maybe 3 feet high. Well, she's interested in it, but can only pay $250 because her husband's going to have to reinstall some legs on it to bring it back to its appropriate height. And that's going to take some work. when you're working on a chopping block that weighs like the same as a big beef cow, right? So my point in telling you this story is that she comes in and offers $250 for it instead of $1,000. And I said, that's fine. Our job is to really get it out of the house. And if we can sell it instead of junking it, we'd rather do that. And so with the owner. And she said, okay, I can't come until next week, right? Now, if you give somebody a deal at $250 when you're really trying to get $1,000, I sent her a message that says, can you pay for this by Venmo or Cash App or some PayPal or something? And then we can hold it for you till you can get here next week to get it. And her comment was, unfortunately, there's so many bad things that happen on Facebook Marketplace that I just don't trust. I don't pay for things in advance, but I'll come pick it up and I'll bring cash. Well, my response was, unfortunately, it works both ways. Too many people say they're going to come and bring cash and then they never show up because they don't have to. It's too easy to just walk away unless you have some skin in the game, right? So I said, we will leave the listing up. If we get an offer better than $250, I will let you know and we'll take that offer. You know, and if we don't, then it'll still be around a week from now and you can come and pick it up. Well, she messaged me back and said, that's fair, right? So you've got doubt on both sides that the other person is really going to do what they say they'll do or that they are honest. That is the exact opposite of the transaction I had 48 hours earlier with an 80-year-old guy up in Westminster, Maryland, who bought my chainsaw. You know, isn't that amazing? And the nostalgia of meeting this guy and just his happy-go-lucky, I trust you, I'm sure it works, you're a good guy. I just met the guy, right? He complimented me on what a nice guy I was. And, you know, no worries at all. And it took me back to yesteryear when your word was your bond, you made a deal on a handshake, you trusted the other person unless they gave you some reason to not trust you. And today it's almost flipped. Today you almost don't trust anybody until they give you a reason to actually trust them, because there's so much fraud that can go on, you know, et cetera. So anyway, a little unprepared speech there about just kind of how business is being done these days. But I really enjoyed meeting this guy up in Winchester and selling him this chainsaw. I took a picture of him standing in front of the chainsaw and I put it up as a Facebook story on my personal Facebook page, Alan J, the initial J Cook, A-L-A-N. And he is up there and I made mention that I drove an hour and a half today one way to deliver this chainsaw to this guy. And if I had to do it again tomorrow, I would, because it was such a joy to just meet this guy dressed in his overalls, willing to, you know, hand over the cash and get the item. And you just feel like it's a return trip to yesteryear when everybody trusted each other. And that's a wonderful thing. We've had some fun selling some other items as well. And in fact, here is the counterpart to that, that shows you how even today you can trust some other people. I have a pickup truck in the parking lot of where I stay there that has a brown tarp over the back of the pickup truck. And I have had various items in there. And the other day, somebody contacted me about a power washer that was in the back of that truck. And they wanted to come by and see it. Well, I was quite a distance away doing another job. And so I responded back and said, yeah, you can just, here's where the truck is. It's in this pickup truck. And I described the truck and I said, go check it out whenever it's convenient for you. And if you want to buy it, just leave me the money for the item in the truck and send me a photo of where you left the money. And you can just go check it out and I don't need to be there, right? Well, I'm trusting somebody that they're going to go look in the back of my truck and only check out one of the items that's there. And if they want it, they'll pay for it and they'll leave me the money. And then hopefully nobody knows the money's there and grabs it before I get home to grab it. Well, I've done that a couple of times in the last week and it has worked out beautifully. And I've even commented to people afterwards. I've said, isn't it great that you can still trust some people? Right. And they commented back and said, yes, it is. So I guess I flip-flopped there a little bit, but there is an example of, you know, non-trust in our business economy these days. And yet, in the midst of that, you turn around, and I've had a couple of transactions that worked beautifully where I can trust somebody. And one guy took, you know, bought something for $150. I don't even remember what it was, and stuck the money inside my gas cap, right, on the side of the truck. Someone else bought a 8-foot ladder and stuck the money inside, you know, the back of the truck under the tarp so nobody else would see it. But one of the things that is kind of fun is that you come home from work, you stop there, you go to the pickup truck, and lo and behold, there's some extra cash there for you from someone that bought something that day where you didn't need to be there to handle the transaction. I mean, that's kind of nice. That's like a little bonus that you get when you come home from work. And I'm all about that. I think that's just a great thing. We got a call 2 days ago from a guy in Covington, Georgia. Covington, Georgia is 30 minutes east of Atlanta. He did a Google search. He found us on the web. He has right now in his front yard two 10-foot tents set up where he's been trying to sell some stuff at a yard sale for the last week. Much of it hasn't sold. He said he spent all day Saturday and Sunday and he made $70. Well, he's probably trying to sell a bunch of little knickknacks that nobody really wants to buy. But he's also got some stuff inside the house that he needs moved out because his wife is in a wheelchair and or a four-pole walker. You know what I'm talking about. And she's having trouble getting around inside the house, right? Her own house. So I told him about some special things we're doing. I gave him some pricing. Then he was terrific to talk to. The next morning, this was yesterday morning, he calls me, gives me his credit card. We charge it for about $1,250 on what would normally have been about a $1,500 job. And sometime in the next 10 days, we're going down to Covington, Georgia to help out this wonderful older couple who just don't have it in them anymore to deal with all of this stuff and to get some of it out of there. I will probably end up flying to Atlanta from the Washington, D.C. area for $16 nonstop. That's the rate I get with the Go Wild Pass at Frontier Airlines, which I highly recommend. We'll then rent a truck for probably from Enterprise Rental Truck. We'll rent a truck for, I don't know, maybe $70 for a day with unlimited miles. We'll go to Covington, 30 minutes east of Atlanta. We'll go ahead and use the truck to start hauling stuff away. Once we're there and we can see what they have, then we can decide where does it go, where's the Goodwill, where's the local dump, where can we recycle metal. We don't need to look all that stuff up in advance because we have done enough of this that we know that all of those services exist in the Atlanta area and in the surrounding areas, and we will track that all down later. All we need to do right now is give him the dates of when we're going to come, given that he's already paid for it. Now, there's another example of trusting somebody. I've never met these folks. They don't know anything about me. They could read our reviews and they'd probably trust us, but you never know. Here's a guy who talks to somebody he doesn't know and the next morning gives him the credit card and pays $1,250. Save him some money over what he could have done locally. We will not charge him for the travel because it's only $32 round trip. We will not charge him for a hotel stay because I'm a Diamond member at Wyndham Resorts. So I get pretty much free rooms using points whenever I travel. And so there's nothing to charge him for there. And we won't charge him for the rental truck because that's just cheap and easy to do. And then we go have the time of our lives discovering what Covington, Georgia is all about. So in the work that we do, there are lots of fun surprises. There is an opportunity to travel around the country. We've gone all over the country, from Seattle to San Diego, from Chicago to San Antonio, from Maine to Tampa, Florida. We've done jobs all over the country, traveling like this inexpensively, renting a truck, and going out and meeting awesome people who just need some help. And it's really a lot of fun. And what I've learned just in going around the country and seeing different parts of the country and meeting people is fabulous. It's a little side benefit to our work. Well, I am on what's called the American Legion Bridge, which is the main bridge between Virginia and Maryland. And I'm on my way to Ashburn, Virginia, to pick up a home gym and decide what to do with it once I get there. I'm going to take a break here for about a minute. You're listening to the Junk Refund Show on BBSRadio.com, and we will be back in about a minute. I'm Alan Cook, your host of the longest-running junk removal radio show in the country. We'll be back in about 60 seconds.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show, which I was just notified might be, I emphasize the word might, but there's a good chance this is correct, the world's longest running junk removal radio show. And that's probably true. I mean, nobody's crazy enough to, you know, take a junk removal business and get on the radio and talk about it except yours truly, because nobody else does it. So that's why we want to do it, because it separates us from the crowd, which is what we're all about. So anyway, I'm still on the freeway. I'm about a third of the way out to Ashburn, Virginia, where I'm going out to pick up a home gym that was listed on Facebook Marketplace this morning. I will tell you a couple of things that we do. In fact, I have on my phone, on an app that I'm not going to stop and try to look at while I'm going 60 miles an hour down the street, but it's an app that kind of allows you to list the different, you know, it might even be called things, that lists the different things you want to do. And you can prioritize them and check them off and all that kind of stuff. On that app, I've listed what are some of the best things that we can do in our business. What's the smartest thing we can do in our business, right? Well, we are not to the point where we've started selling franchises yet. We haven't even really talked much about that. But that is one of our goals, is to make it a national company and franchise it, et cetera. And then you get to the idea of booking the clean out of a house for somebody, for a realtor who's got a house they need to get cleaned out. That's usually a good job to get. And if you can't book a whole house, book maybe one truckload. And if you can't book one truckload, you know, and it just kind of siphons down. Well, somewhere down the list of different priorities in terms of the smartest things we can do is to pick up scrap metal for people and to do it for free. Now, the reason we do it for free is because we can go in on Craigslist or on Facebook Marketplace every day, and there are listings there for people that have something they're trying to get rid of for free. Those listings are frequently include washers and dryers, or a refrigerator, or a microwave, or a rotating fan, which I picked up this morning from somebody. In any event, if we wake up in the morning and we have nothing scheduled on the books of something to go do, we can go to Craigslist or Facebook Marketplace and start searching for free items that people want to get rid of. And we will go around and pick them up for free and give them a business card and later take them over to a scrap metal yard and get some cash for that. Now, that's basically a break-even proposition on any given day because of the gas you spend and the tolls you pay and the fact that you don't get rich picking up, you know, one thing here and one thing there. But when we run ads for $5, I think is one of the great advertising values these days. You can go in as a business, you pay $5 to put an ad on Craigslist, and that baby stays on Craigslist for 30 days. Now, we have done that for scrap metal, telling people we'll pick it up for free. a guy in Leesburg called us, Leesburg, Virginia, which is maybe 30 miles away from us, and said, hey, do you come out to Leesburg? I said, well, depends on what you have and how much stuff you have. He says, I got a whole shed full of stuff. You're welcome to come out and get it. And there's a lot of copper in there. Now, in the scrap metal business, when somebody says the word copper, that's like saying the word gold. Because if you take some copper into a scrap metal yard, they will pay you $3.20 a pound for that metal, for that copper. If you take a pair of scissors in, a metal thing in, to the same scrap yard, they will pay you 5 cents a pound for that. So 100 pounds of copper makes me $320. 100 pounds of other metal makes me $5. Comprende? So that is what happens. So when you go out and you pick up scrap metal, it's a way to stay busy. And the trade-off is, if I go to, you know, 5 different jobs in a day and just pick up whatever it is they have, that's 5 new customers that I have. I give them each a business card. I invite them to send me their email if they want to be on our monthly email list of client specials, more about what our business is about. And the next time any of those 5 want to get rid of more scrap metal, they're going to call us because we take it for free and we know them and they know us. So there are some days where you just focus on trying to build your customer base and you're not really making money, but you're also not sitting home complaining about, oh crap, you know, the government shut down or we need this or the economy, you know, the world's in turmoil or whatever. You know, the world's in turmoil most of the time, right? There's division in our country all of the time. I don't know of a time in my life for the last 67 years where this country was 100% completely united, right? On anything. And Warren Buffett is on record as saying that, you know, in any presidential election, half the people in the United States are happy and half of them are not happy, right? Well, that's just the way that it goes. And so in the midst of what's going on in the world and different problems going on in the world, there's still good things that can happen, and you still just keep moving forward one step at a time, trying to make progress. Earlier today, I stopped about an hour ago. I stopped at a Shell gas station in Rockville, Maryland, and needed to pick up what's called DEF, D-E-F, fluid, which you use with trucks that run on diesel gas. I think the DEF is diesel exhaust fluid, I think is what it stands for. It's a special fluid that you put into the truck that I guess takes care of some of the exhaust problems from running a diesel engine. That's a guess. But anyway, it's a certain amount of fluid, and the truck will tell you when it's getting low, and every once in a while you need to go spend some money and put some more DEF fluid in your truck. Trucks that run on regular gas don't use DEF fluid, but diesel trucks do. The truck we have is a diesel truck, so we have to go buy it. Well, I'm picking it up. There's a Shell gas station. I stop in there. But I first go into the mechanics phase of the gas station, and I tell people that we pick up scrap metal for free, and do you have any scrap metal you want us to haul away? And they say, well, talk to that guy over there. So I do, and I get a card from a guy named Ali, who is the main guy at the kind of the maintenance service shop part of the gas station where he handles repairs. And he said, yeah, give me your information. And we have scrap metal all the time, you know, coming through, and we'll call you and come pick it up. Sometimes we will even give a refund back to people at these gas stations because they have all of the brake parts, the brake rotors, the shock absorbers, the transmissions, even the engines from automobiles are being, you know, stockpiled at these different places. Well, you can go around, give out your card, and just Google, you know, how many gas stations are within 10 miles of me, and you'll be surprised. There's probably a lot if you're in a metropolitan area. And every one of those probably has a service bay where they're working with metal auto parts all the time, batteries as well, wires as well, and that stuff piles up, and then they have to get rid of it. So anyway, every time you stop to get gas, you can give out a business card that says, hey, we haul away scrap metal for free. And depending on how much you have, we may even give you a refund back once we get the money from the scrap metal yard. So that's another way to make some money. So on those days where things slow down, there are always ways to kind of keep building your business and keep moving it forward by just going out there. And the people that you meet and the things that you do and the situations that you come across are just magical. The guy in Leesburg, Virginia, who had this shed full of stuff and he needed to get it cleaned out by that weekend because his son was having a birthday party on their farm and you could see this big pile of metal in the shed from where the party's going to happen. We went out and hauled that away. Lots of copper pipe, lots of copper tubing, lots of metal. We took that into this, and he found us on Craigslist. We took that in the scrap metal yard, got $1,000 for it. $1,000, you know? So, and the ad that got us that $1,000 cost us $5. Now show me a better deal. That's just an amazing story. And we've had this happen a number of times with Craigslist ads where people respond to it and yeah, we've got scrap metal and, you know, et cetera. Come pick it up. And then the next time they have more, again, now we have a client and they'll call us to get more done. So we get a little bit excited when we show up at somebody's place and we start pulling a lot of copper pipe out of a shed because that's money going through our hands and into our truck for every piece of copper that we load in there, plus the metal, plus the aluminum. You know, they'll pay you 40 cents a pound for clean aluminum. So those aluminum pots and pans that you're not using anymore in your kitchen, you know, or whatever, those can make you some money if you just take them over to a scrap metal yard. If you have any car batteries lying around, those tend to weigh about 40 pounds a piece. And you'll end up making about $10 at a scrap metal yard for turning in a battery. Copper pipes, stainless steel stuff. We got a call the other day from a lady who shut down her kitchen and has all of the restaurant equipment in two storage units right now, which she's paying $1,000 a month to keep. In those storage units, you have yellow, what's called yellow brass, which is what a lot of the more upscale, you know, restaurant type of serving equipment is made of. You also get stainless steel, which is popular, and you get a lot of aluminum. All of those are much better than regular metal. And I went there and did a little estimate for her. She's trying to sell this restaurant equipment, and we're interested in getting it for free, and then we'll give her some money back, depending on what we get. Well, she's going to try and sell it for another month, and if it doesn't work, she'll call us and we'll go clean out these storage units and joyfully take a whole bunch of stainless steel and aluminum over to the scrap metal yard and walk out with some cash. That is a nice little gold mine if you want to make some money doing this in the scrap metal side of things. We went this morning to close to Columbia, Maryland to help a lady named Mary, whom we had helped in the past. She found us years ago on Groupon, bought one of the Groupon vouchers, and we went up and did a small job for her. I don't even remember exactly how much work we did for her in the past. She said it was a lot of furniture, so it was more than just a Groupon job. But we went up this morning. I couldn't remember her, and I couldn't remember the details, but when I got there and she opened up her garage door, it came back to me. Mary is a COPD patient. Culminary, what, something disorder. I'm not even sure culinary is the right word. I don't think that's the right word. She needs oxygen. So she's on basically a respirator with tubes, long tubes that will allow her to move throughout her home and still get fresh oxygen daily. Minute by minute, as a matter of fact. She has been on oxygen since 2012, and to her credit, made it through COVID and still kept her life. I mean, this was not an easy thing for her. And I asked her, you know, how many years you've been on this? 13 years she's been doing this, walking around with you know, tubes going into her nostrils, getting some clean oxygen, and she just had a small job this time. It was just some carpet that she had rolled up in her garage. But what's interesting is I found out that when I went to pick up the carpet with a buddy of mine there and load it in the truck, many times carpet rolls are held together with duct tape. In this case, it was COPD tubing. The little plastic tubing, they use that to wrap up and tie up the rolls of carpet. I was kind of stunned by that. I thought, you know, somebody's really clever, and they must have lots of extra tubing around here, you know? Well, sure enough, her nephew, I got the story, came over and used the tubing. She said, unfortunately, he used the new tubing to tie that up instead of the old tubing. But pretty clever. I mean, pretty clever what we humans will come up with to solve one of our problems. We really are, as a species, generally quite innovative. And we will come up with a way to make something work when we have to. I mean, we just will. We're survivors in a great deal, in a great sense. And that's what we do. And so here I am this morning, a few hours ago, picking up a few rolls of carpet, used carpet's been cut up and stuff, and it's held together with oxygen tubing, you know, that is a life-sustaining piece of tubing for an individual, and that's what they use to tie it all up. I mean, yeah, that's a first. I haven't seen that one before, and that was a first. So it's just kind of, like I said, it's kind of fun with what you come up with and how it all works. And you never know in our business what we're doing. This job I'm going on right now to go pick up a home gym did not exist on our books an hour ago. We discovered it an hour ago that it was a free home gym. Just come pick it up. We sent a message to the seller. They responded back in a couple of minutes. And whammo, what time can you be here? Well, I do a radio show from 3 to 4. I could probably be there around 4:30. Okay, awesome. Here's our address. Well, there you go. So we can wake up on a morning when we have nothing on our schedule, and we can go out and keep ourselves busy picking up stuff that other people want to throw away or get rid of. And if you want a nice little side job, you know, look for stuff that people are giving away for free, go pick it up, and then turn around and put it up for sale on the same marketplace or Craigslist or something, and see what you can do with it. You know, you never know what you can do with it. There's some interesting stories, interesting things that can happen. So I'm going to come back and tell you about another situation we've got. All of these have happened in the last week. This is a 200-year-old, I'm going to call it a chopping block. It's a meat butcher's block that you would use to, you know, put a slab of beef on and slice it all up. One of those is in the basement of a gentleman's home that we need to get rid of. And I mentioned earlier today on the show where we talked about, you know, trusting and stuff, but that's just a cool thing. A 200-year-old chopping block. That one, I still don't know how we're going to get it out of this guy's house. The sucker weighs too much. Anyway, I am going to take another break here for about a minute. I'm getting closer to Ashburn, Virginia, and life is good on the Junk Refund Show in Northern Virginia. I'm your host, Alan Cook. We'll be back in about a minute.
Have you ever hired one of those expensive junk removal companies, then wondered what they did with the stuff? Especially the good stuff. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we junk the junk. Recycle stuff like metal and wire. Donate items and get you receipts. And put up for sale the good stuff. And if it sells, you get some money back. Cynthia paid $375 for junk removal and got $3,200 back. Would you like to know how she did it? Tune in to the Junk Refund Show with your host, Alan J. Cook, every Thursday at 3 p.m. Eastern Time to get the junk not only out of your home, but also out of your life.
Hey, welcome back to the Junk Refund Show, which as of today, we're dubbing as the world's longest running junk removal radio show, which we're frankly very proud of. I belong to a church, by the way, that sponsors the Tabernacle Choir at Temple Square, formerly known as the Mormon Tabernacle Choir. Those boys have been on the air weekly, continuously for 93 years. Okay. I've been doing radio shows about junk removal for about 3 years. So, hey, I'm thrilled to, and I guess they bill this. It's called Music and the Spoken Word. It's on every Sunday morning, and you can listen to it around the world or on the internet, and they bill it as the world's longest running radio show. And I think that's accurate. I think that's right. 93 years, for heaven's sakes, unless you start a show when you're seven and you're now 100 and you're still going. I mean, they've probably got you beat. But anyway, we're having fun doing the show. And I'm headed to Ashburn, Virginia to pick up a home gym in about 25 minutes that was listed for free on Facebook Marketplace this morning. You know, it's amazing what you can find on that website. Get on Facebook and you can list stuff for free. You can, you know, buy stuff on there, whatever. But it's just a great service, and it is a go-to place. If you ever wake up in our industry and you're going, well, let's see, we need more appointments today. There are places to go to pick stuff up, and then you take it to another place and you get paid for it. So you're not going to get rich doing that. But you will survive, and you will get more customers, and more people will know about your business, yada, 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 right? So I referred to this meat chopping block thing. I don't know how, and I remembered once I referred, I went, wait a minute, I already talked about that. But when you have the responsibility to get a, let's say it's 800-pound solid piece of wood out of somebody's basement, I mean, that's not an easy thing to do. You don't just pick that baby up and walk out with it, right? That takes a little bit of know-how and skill and probably some tools and equipment. Who knows? But rather than pick it up and go haul it off and dump it, we're trying to sell that baby, and hopefully we will. Tried it for $2,000, no interest. Tried it for $1,000, started to get some interest. Got an offer of $250, which we turned in. Well, we were happy to take, but they didn't want to pay for it, you know, first. So it's still up for sale. And if you're looking for a, you know, 800-pound meat chopping block kind of thing, that's basically the size of a large coffee table, boy, have we got a deal for you. So I'm out here in Ashburn, Virginia. We're having fun just picking up new customers. Another thing I like to do in our business, realtors are key people because they know who needs to sell their home. And that home needs to be decluttered before they can list it for sale. And so we work with a lot of realtors. As I go into some, like today in Ashburn, I'll go into Ashburn and I'll, you know, do a job and pick up some stuff. I'm looking for real estate listing signs in the front yards of people around where I did the job. I will then take a picture of the sign. And every day I try to reach out to one more realtor to let them know that we were in their neighborhood and that we did a job and that we're available, you know, to help them with any of their customers, et cetera. That usually works, and it usually works pretty well, and it adds to our database of realtors. And you can imagine if you did that every day for a month, you'd pick up another 25 or 30 realtors, and with, you know, various realtors that you have available around the Washington, D.C. area, you don't need that many in order to really be successful. You just don't. And so it's fun to just keep adding to the database, keep adding to your customer list, keep adding people that that can help your business. And in the meantime, you get to know more and more realtors who you can refer people to at the same time. We've had some great success. And we've even had on this show maybe a handful of realtors in the past that we've talked to and interviewed. and they do a terrific job. They're very professional. They're very smart. They are terrific. I can't say enough good about, you know, the Michael Fays of the world and his son Michael Fay Jr. and the Karen Rawlings of the world in Olney, Maryland, and the Josh Pratts in Montgomery County, Maryland, and the Melanie Williams, you know, in the Bethesda, Maryland area. There are just, I mean, there are thousands of them, but they are all terrific people. They do great work. They feed us a lot of business, and we try to return the favor as well. Trying to think of just a couple of other things that we've done recently, because there's always, you know, more and more stories to tell and more things to do. I was excited to possibly go out to a place called Crownsville, Maryland this afternoon, where another person saw us on Craigslist and has a bunch of stuff, a bunch of metal that they want to get rid of. And it includes some copper and some of the other stuff. They asked, you know, would you like to come get this? And I responded yesterday and said, yes, we would. Just shoot me an address. And I just haven't heard back yet. But in the meantime, here I am in Ashburn, Virginia, picking up a home gym instead, which is just fine. And we have no problem with that at all. And again, you just don't know, you know, where you're going to be taken and what's going to happen. We picked up this morning, and in fact, I have it bungee corded right now in the back of the truck. I've got a little bungee cord holding it up against the side of the truck so that it won't fall down. One of these old, I don't even know what you call it. Let's call it a small pinball machine where it has, you know, 100 small round steel. We used to call them steelies when we shot marbles, you know, back in as kids. A bunch of these little small round metal balls that drop from the top of this machine and then bounce around and then they end up someplace down at the bottom. And you do them, you know, one at a time, that kind of thing. We've got one of those right now in the back of our truck. It's about a foot and a half wide. It's about 3 inches thick and it's about 2.5 feet tall. I do not know, because I haven't looked up the brand name yet, if it has value. Probably does have some value because it's an old thing. And it's one of these things that people would get excited about who like to collect, you know, pinball machines and vintage games and stuff like that. But I don't know what it's worth. But I have learned to not just throw stuff away. You know, you'd be surprised what kind of value is out there. We did a job one time years ago in Kensington, Maryland, where we cleaned out a whole house, and on the shelves, on the bookshelves downstairs, was some vintage G.I. Joe dolls and equipment. Of the various things that we put up for sale, those G.I. Joe dolls sold for about $400, right? You just don't know. We did a job in Northern Virginia. This was many years ago, where a gentleman lost his wife. You know, she passed away, and she and we went over, and he needed his house cleaned out because he was going to downsize. So we went over to his house, and, you know, he started talking about the situation. I said, now remind me of the situation. And he immediately mentions his wife and starts to get teary-eyed because he's still not through the grieving, you know, phase of this. And he said, you know, you might, there's some stuff up in the attic. You might check up there. And he said, oh, and by the way, she collected dolls from around the world. There might be something you could do with, you know, some of these dolls, you know. And so we thought, okay, when I heard that, my ears kind of perked up a little bit. So we said, okay, let me check it out. Well, we took home a box of dolls, and I don't know beans about dolls, but there was one that I picked up that had, instead of, had this little doll with a skirt, but instead of two legs coming out from her hips, you get one handle, a straight wooden handle. And I thought, well, that's kind of strange. I wonder what that's all about. And so I picked up the doll and started just kind of, you know, examining it a little bit. And I happened to just accidentally shake the handle, and the doll starts to rotate. So I shook it more, and it rotates 360 degrees, and a music box starts to play. This is a music box doll from France. that was popular in the early 1900s. I had no clue. I kind of looked at it and go, well, how come she doesn't have her other leg here, right? Shows you what I know. Well, we put that music box doll up for sale, and it sold to a buyer in Europe for $400, one doll. Okay? Now, thank heavens, that didn't get thrown into a landfill, right? Part of that money from that sale goes back to the gentleman whose wife collected this doll. Part of it goes to us. Part of it goes to eBay, which is where we sold the doll. And the guy in Austria, in Europe, gets thrilled because he's able to buy a collectible doll at a really good price. That's called everybody wins. And that's how we try to run our business. We try to run it so everybody wins. You know, the person who gets their junk hauled away wins. We win because we get paid to haul the junk away. The person who buys the doll wins because they were able to find a collectible doll just by going on eBay. eBay wins because they make fees for handling the transaction. The gentleman that hired us to clean out his house wins because he gets a percentage of the doll sale, whereas other junk removal companies would have just thrown it away and he ends up getting nothing. See, it's this everybody wins thing that gets us excited. That's what we like to see. And that's what we like to make happen. And that's frequently what happens. In our case, you know, a junk removal job that was supposed to be, you know, X amount of money turns into X plus, you know, $400 or whatever, because we put something up for sale instead of throwing it away, which is pretty much what the other companies would have done, probably would have done. Or they send it home with their drivers, or it just gets overlooked and tossed, right? I used to be a stockbroker, and I've learned that there's value in a lot of stuff that many times gets overlooked. And we like to find that value and turn it into money, if at all possible. And it is possible, I'm here to tell you, because we just keep doing it again and again and again and again. And I have not stopped yet to look and see what this item is I have in the back of my truck right now. This little mini pinball machine, I have no idea what that's worth. I just know it's old. And I will tell you that right now also on Facebook Marketplace under my name, Alan Cook, you'll see a listing for two vintage, I'm going to call them pinball machines, but they're not even pinball machines. One of them is listed for $3,000 and one of them is listed for $1,500. They are some old vintage pinball type machines. One of them is like you're going to the horse track and you put in nickels. You put in seven different nickels and then this big, you know, wheel spins in the middle of this upright machine and it's horizontally positioned and it lights up. So you put in seven nickels, 35 cents. You push a lever at the bottom right-hand part of this machine. And this wheel starts to spin and it lights up and it's basically a horse race. And it picks one of the seven horses to win the race. And the cool thing about it is there are a boatload of nickels inside this machine, perfectly organized in different trays that have been used to make these bets in the past. And there's nothing more fun than being called on to go pick up a vending machine, for example. And when you take it, and in one case, they had the keys to the vending machine. It was at a nonprofit organization, and the company that supplied the vending machine, I guess, went out of business. So they gave us the keys to the machine and the machine, a very heavy machine. We hauled it up, but the first thing we did was unlock the door and look to see if there was any money in it, right? Sure enough, right inside the door, there is a metal box. That box is about 3 inches deep. It's about 10 inches long. I'm going to say three. It's about 6 inches, 7 inches wide. It's about 8 or 9 inches long, and it's about 3 inches deep. Does that make sense? It's a rectangular shaped box, and it is completely full of quarters, jammed with quarters. And that's a freebie, right? So we, first thing we did was we took that box off of the door, took it and put it in the truck. And for the next week, I would fill up a like mason jar full of quarters out of this thing, go into my local Safeway, cash them in their coin machine, and hundreds of dollars came our way because of just checking to see if there's coins in the machine. Another thing that you do, these machines that take dollar bills, when those dollar bills go into a vending machine, they get vertically in a portrait-shaped format, which means they're taller than they are wide. They get stacked into a slot, basically. And when you take the machine, if you don't have keys to it, you take it to a scrap metal yard, and they come in with their giant cranes and grapples, we'll call it, and they come in like with a big claw, big hydraulic claw, comes in, grabs the machine, and basically opens the door of the machine for you by crushing it. And once they open it that way, then you have access to the inside of the machine, and you do what I do. You go in and you look inside the door, or you look on the left-hand side, and sure enough, there's a 4-inch deep stack of bills, $1 bills mostly, some fives, I think, but mostly $1 bills, 4 inches thick. All the cash, all the dollars that people put in this machine is still in it. And in other cases, all the quarters that people put in for years, I guess, assume it's years, is still in it. And that's called, you know, getting paid twice. You take that money out of the machine, that's a bonus. Then you get paid for the weight of the machine by dropping it off at the scrap metal yard. That's a second payment. And those are the kind of things that happen in our business that just make life wonderful. And so it's a great thing to go out and do work and the same day turn it into cash. And it was a record for me when I went in with this guy from Leesburg, had all of his copper piping and all this stuff. When I went in there, and the gentleman who at the, it's called Rockville Metals, great group of guys over there, the gentleman there that does all the weighing for us and then prints out the slip, and then we take the slip in and scan it, and then we get paid. He looks on the slip, and he looks at me, he goes, amigo, $900, amigo, very good, muy bueno. And there you go. That little slip of paper gets turned into $900, you know, 5 minutes later. So there's value in stuff out there, especially in metal, wire, batteries, copper, piping. You know, we've learned if somebody throws away a window air conditioner, we've learned to take that apart because inside of that you have copper running through a basically a screen type of attachment. That copper that's inside that screen area can be pulled out just by unbolting a few screws. And we use cordless drills with battery packs that other people threw away from their job to undo these air conditioning units, right? There's nothing I love. I guess the thing I love more is when somebody throws something away and we go pick it up and all of a sudden it turns into a bunch of cash. That's just a great thing. But one of the second things that I like the most is when somebody throws away a tool or a car or a device that we can then turn around and use to make more money for our business, which is the case with all of the tools that we, pretty much all the tools that we have, especially the cordless drills and all the accessories that go with those, are tools that other people threw away that we now use to make money. And that just brings an extra smile to my face. So with that, we will wrap up today's show. Thanks for listening. You can listen to all of the past episodes on wherever you get your podcasts. Look for the Junk Refund Show. They're also listed on the BBS Radio Network at bbsradio.com. Thanks to Don and Doug Newsom, the founders of BBS Radio, for all the great work that they do and for having us on their network, which we are proud to be on. And I am now in Ashburn, Virginia, and I'm about to go pick up a free weight set, which will then be turned into cash probably by this afternoon. So anyway, join in next week. We'll give you tips on how to make money in the junk removal business, how to make money just with stuff that's around your house, and basically try to let you know that the world is a great place, regardless of what's going on, especially if you're in the United States of America. There will always be problems. There will always be concerns. So Sometimes there are more of them, sometimes there are less. But in the midst of all of that, it's the greatest country in the world, and enjoy it and have a smile on your face. Because if you can do it in a junk removal business with all the crap that you run into in our business, I guarantee you, you can do it in a bunch of other businesses as well. So go have fun. And if you need some more tips on how to get the junk out of your home and out of your garage and also out of your life, join us next week, 3 o'clock Thursdays on bbsradio.com. I'm your host, Alan Cook, and we'll be talking about more stories that are going to be generated between now and then. Most of those stories, I cannot tell you right now what they will be. And that's what makes it so much fun. Have a great week, everybody. Talk to you soon.
Thank you for listening to the Junk Refund Show, the longest-running junk removal radio show on the air. Join us next week as we discuss innovative ways to declutter your home, your business, and your life using 20 years of junk removal experience. Find out why we give out free ice cream gift cards to our clients, too. In upcoming shows, we will explore how to get the junk out of your relationships, your spiritual life, your waistline, even your travel life. Plus, call in with questions and situations you would like some help with. At 1-800-JUNK-REFUND, we are committed to bringing the next generation of junk removal, because not all junk is junk. See you next week on the Junk Refund Show, every Thursday afternoons at 3 p.m. Eastern Time, right here on BBS Radio TV.